It's not hyperbole to say the story of the city of Flint is one written in blood, sweat, and tears. It boasts a storied past as the birthplace of General Motors and the sit-down strike. It once had one of the highest per capita standards of living of any American city. But Flint is also a city that has lost half its population over the last 50 years. Its poverty rate far exceeds the state average. And across the nation, Flint bears the harsh moniker of the murder capital of America. Flint is a place of extremes. Yet there's new optimism in Flint these days. The city's recently approved a comprehensive new master plan that confronts decades of problems. Many citizens and public officials say they're excited to begin work on the first new roadmap for the city in more than 50 years, Current State's Kevin Lavery reports.
The word celebration is not uttered very often in Flint, at least not in many public settings. But there's real cause for it this week. On Wednesday, Mayor Dane Walling headlined a high-profile press conference at the old Buick City site, Flint's sprawling former car assembly plant idled since 1999, to proclaim a new industry was taking up residence.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Today, we are announcing a new pipe manufacturing business opening in the Buick City corridor. We're very proud to announce that American Pipe will be made in Flint.
Alabama-based American Cast Iron Pipe Company will build the pipe that will one day ship water from Lake Huron to Genesee County. The development is a huge economic and morale boost for the region. Bryant Nolden believes investments like this one prove that Flint is on the rebound. He's the vice president of the city council.
If you have a major corporation that's willing to invest in the city of Flint, other corporations might start to look at it and say, hey, what's going on there? This is a part of the country where we could possibly invest. The people here, they're hardworking, they're honest folks, and a lot of folks here just want to have an opportunity to make a living wage so they'd be able to take care of their families.
As a city councilman, it's part of Nolden's job to cheer on economic development. But the citizen in him goes even further. Nolden was part of a 21-member steering committee that spent nearly 2 years evaluating and condensing Flint's wants and needs into the city's first new master plan since 1960. The plan tackles some big issues: unemployment, crime, urban blight. It sets forth a new zoning plan that reflects a steeply falling population. It outlines improvements to its educational and mass transit systems. Flint has taken a long, steady look into the mirror, and now it's fixed its gaze on the horizon. Bryant Nolden is proud of the outcome and of how his neighbors responded to their call to arms. He says 5,000 people participated in the master planning process.
We're very transparent in that. Everything that we did in open, and I think that the community really was behind us on this.
Nolden was born and raised in Flint. 6 years ago, he bought the house he grew up in on Bundy Avenue. The Flint of his youth was still powered by the prosperity of General Motors. And while things have most certainly changed, Nolden holds fast to his roots.
I'm back in a neighborhood that I grew up in, a neighborhood that I love. You know, it's not the way that it was when I was growing up, but it's home, and I know it's going to be a lot better in the near future.
Judith Hovey is a transplant to Flint from Massachusetts, but not a recent one. Her first impressions from a hot August day in 1969 aren't quite as sentimental.
And I thought, oh my God, this is awful. This is barren. And truly, for many, many years, I did not consider myself a Michigander, and I could care less what had happened in Michigan.
But in time, Hovey came around, and she stayed.
What has kept you here for 44 years?
I like where I live.
She likes to call it the Enchanted Forest. Her home is lined by woods and a stream not far from downtown in the Fairfield Village neighborhood. Hovey says in the last few years, she remembered her duty to give back to the community, and now she, too, serves on the Master Plan Steering Committee. Hovey concedes she wasn't the easiest person to work with.
I raised a lot of questions about finance and accountability and openness. And I also raised questions about the divisions I see so geographically in Flint that go back to racial divides. And sometimes those questions, I think, were uncomfortable for people. But somebody needed to do it.
The fiscal challenges alone are daunting. Flint's current fiscal year budget is around $60 million, but it's strapped with a $19 million deficit. Darnell Early is the city's emergency manager.
Our budget from the fiscal year seems to be intact, and so we're gaining some ground there. But you have to eliminate a structural deficit, and that is the accumulative deficits, before you can declare the community financially solvent.
Early notes the city is applying for grant funding for a number of projects. For example, Flint recently received a $20 million federal grant to eliminate blight. The city will mark a big milestone on that path next month with the planned demolition of Genesee Towers, Flint's tallest building and one of its most prominent eyesores. Flint also has a shinier side, its robust collegiate system, which includes a branch of the University of Michigan. Kettering University and Mott Community College are points of pride. In the last decade, considerable private money has been poured into downtown development. Pamela Hawkins has seen that firsthand. She's worn many hats in Flint, from chairing the Downtown Small Business Association to her volunteer work with FACT, Flint Area Congregations Together. That was the group whose work with Mayor Dane Walling led to a 2009 Community Covenant Agreement, which in turn became the basis of the master plan. Hawkins says as revitalization spreads outward from downtown, residents must be ready to support entrepreneurs.
That's when many of us within the neighborhoods are going to have to step forward, because we're going to have to be our own developers at times.
Hawkins believes urban renewal means tapping into existing but underappreciated resources. She recounts a bus tour she organized that traveled through what she calls the good, the bad, and the ugly of Flint.
We saw houses that were kept up very nicely, even though there might have been burnout areas around. And then our natural resources, the lakes like Thread Lake or the Kersey Reservoir. Some of the people on the bus didn't even know they existed, but they were right here in the community, and you can build around those natural resources.
Flint also has a man-made resource that the city hopes will reignite its artistic attributes.
Just east of downtown is the heart of Flint's cultural center. And to look at the campus with its array of metal sculptures, tree-lined streets, it is very reminiscent of the Smithsonian and the National Mall in Washington, D.C. Everywhere you look around you is something having to do with the arts.
Well, that's a generous appraisal, but it's in many ways accurate.
John Henry is the director of the Flint Institute of Arts. Built in 1958, the city's premier art gallery is flanked by a library, concert halls, and the state's largest planetarium. It's the legacy of Flint's most famous son, Charles Stuart Mott. The co-founder of General Motors was a strong advocate of adult continuing education. Henry believes the renewed focus on the arts expressed in the master plan is essential in luring new businesses to the area. He's convinced that with perseverance, Flint will again become a great city.
Maybe different than it was. Perhaps it'll be known as a cultural town and an education town and a medical town. We have great resources in all those areas. I think Flint's going to rise up and surprise everyone in the not too distant future.
The blueprint is finished. Now, Flint faces the deliberate task of turning its vision into action. Community leaders know this will be a hard job, but really, it's just basic geology. If you strike Flint hard enough, you'll get a spark. For Current State, I'm Kevin Lavery.